My fellow Americans, are you tired of the new normal?
Are you tired of the lies?
Election fraud. You know, the thing that the mainstream media and big tech says doesn't exist?
It is time to end it.
We must keep going. If you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But by all means, keep moving.
Many of you are sitting here because you're wanting to know what the plan is.
This has to be peaceful. We have the right to peacefully assemble.
The solution has been in front of us all along.
Ask God if you should step in the gap and become a part of the plan.
The plan is simple.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
We are the plan.
If you're waiting for others to do the work for you, you're going to be waiting a long time.
We are Conservative Daily.
Welcome back, everybody. How are we doing on Conservative Daily this morning? Ash, hello.
I'm doing good. You're dying. So there's that. But I really want to thank you for putting me in the show intro. It was really great. Oh, wait.
Well, anyway, today on Conservative Daily, we have a lot to talk about today.
Oh, that's good. Oh, we do have a lot to talk about today. This weekend was bananas. There's been so much going on. We did cover the 118th Congress attempting to elect a speaker for 4 days last week. They finally did elect a speaker a little bit after midnight on Friday night. And it's, spoiler, shocker, Kevin McCarthy. But we did have quite a number of concessions and other things. So we'll maybe get into some of that. But the real story is Brazil.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. We were seeing news about possible martial law and all kinds of things. Brazilians have been protesting now for almost 70 days, I think it is, since
72, I believe.
Yeah, since the second week of November. And now they had a full J6 that went real live yesterday. So there's tons of footage of what's going on. I'll pull some of that in. We have some to show you. But the people of Brazil have taken over the Congress building, the Supreme Court, and the presidential palace. Yesterday, Lula fled to Sao Paulo. You had Bolsonaro gave an address very early this morning.
I love it when they flee.
Well, I mean, what choice do they have? They could have done the really simple concession, much like here in the United States, and just turned over the machines and the code and given the people what they want. But realistically, they can't. They can't, go along with any of these SV cases because, then the game's up,
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, they can't allow the transparency because the truth will come out. But, I was on this Twitter space last night for several hours. We were talking about Brazil and a little bit about the Congress and stuff, but mostly Brazil. And it was Addy Ads space, A-D-D-Y-A, I think it's A-D-D-S. Everybody should go follow him on Twitter. He was in Brazil. He had to flee Brazil when this all popped off, but he's got very solid reporting, and he was on this space, and there was a number of people from Brazil on this space saying this is not J6. This is not the same situation that happened in the United States. And I think that there's a lot of truth to that, because what we see in Brazil is that the military is actually standing up and standing in the gap for the protesters, which is not something that we've ever seen in the United States of America. So should we get into some of these cuts? Because I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Okay, hold on. Let me pull some of these over here.
We don't have them named or in any specific order. So I would suggest we just go through the Brazilian citizens ones first, the two that are titled Brazilian citizens. Let's do those first.
Quer saber, liga o botão aqui. Estou substituindo.
É com novo dinheiro. Esse aqui é um ladrão.
Espia aí, ó. Espia aí onde é que nós está. Espia aí.
So I'm going to pause it. That first video was them in the I believe that was in the Congress building. This next one, I just paused it. Yeah, this is, I believe, in the Supreme Court building.
Oh, okay. I thought the second one was the palace. but I could be totally off on that because there were so many. These protests are not just in one place.
This is the
Supreme
Court building,
I believe. They're
all over
the country of Brazil happening. And yeah, in Brasilia, where the capital of Brazil is, obviously their government buildings. But I got to say, you know, as someone who was at January 6th, as someone who has dealt with the repercussions of January 6th, having the feds come to my house and, you know, facing increased scrutiny because I was there, as I was watching this over the weekend, I felt really badly because these protesters, they're gonna face the full weight and force of the government coming after them. And I hope that the military holds their ground in protecting these people, but it'll be interesting to see where it goes. I just kept thinking of the people that we have rotting in prison, right? That are many of them still in pretrial. And, you know, I don't know how Brazil's justice system compares to ours, but I felt dread for them.
Well, let's talk real quickly. We have some more cuts, and there's plenty. I mean, we could sit here and do an entire show just on footage from Brazil.
Yeah.
Over the last 24 hours, but you think about some of the differences and similarities between Brazil and the United States. Am I coming through? Everyone, I'm sorry, you guys. I don't. I can't really talk at my. I don't know if I need to bump my.
Oh, Joe's in the chat.
If you guys can hear me okay, let me know. Otherwise, I can turn myself up a little because I don't have my full voice today. But
yeah, you sound really nasally.
Excellent.
I mean, I hear your sound fine. You just sound like crap.
Perfect. Perfect. So, you know, some of the things you look at some of this footage, it looks very much like January 6th. But at the same time, it looks a lot, in many ways, like there's more vandalism being done. You know, the J6 insurrectionists, as they're still somehow to this day called here in the United States, the majority of what was happening, yeah, there were some who went in and started screwing around in people's offices. It's pretty well confirmed that, you know, most of those people were, in fact, confidential informants or actually worked for the FBI and the feds. But most of the citizens who went into the U.S. Capitol, into the Capitol buildings, they were actually remarkably peaceful, all things considered, and also did not really damage much outside of the handful who, again, mostly feds, were breaking windows and doing other stupid stuff. But then you look at how they actually got in, and here in the United States, they were let in. It's very clear. That's not even debatable anymore. Though the January 6th committee and the Mockingbird media will say otherwise, they were let into the building. They were escorted in. In Brazil, I do not see that happening, and we don't know at this time how many people intermingled with the you know, the people in Brazil who actually did take over Congress and the Supreme Court, et cetera, could be the same type of Asian provocateurs. We don't know. And it's very possible that there are a good number of them.
There are videos. Yeah, there are videos of them very cordially talking to the Brazilian police that are inside of these buildings. That part seems very similar, right?
Well, there's also
the same thing on January 6th.
And there's also footage of them turning over some individuals who very clearly look like Asian provocateurs to some of the police in Brazil. And some of them, from what I was looking at last night, they had Molotov cocktails. And so there is footage. Maybe I can find that before we end today. But there's footage of them actually turning over some of these individuals and handing them over to the police because they were clearly trying to do some bad stuff.
The other thing that was different about January 6th, and I mean, there's lots of things, right? We're not trying to conflate the two countries and very different geopolitical environments, but there are similarities and it's fine for us to talk about them. But one of the key differences is the violence that was perpetrated on the people. There's footage, and I think we have this, of helicopters flying over the crowds and dropping CS gas into the crowds. So these are people that are, again, like January 6th, not near the buildings. They're in the grassy areas outside of the campus, and they're deploying helicopters to gas peaceful people. That is similar to January 6th in the fact that they gassed peaceful people, different in the fact that they used helicopters. But I'll say one thing about the helicopters. I watched the Route 91 documentary that Mindy Robinson put out. Have you seen that, Apollo?
No, I haven't.
Okay, we got to do a show on that because based on the footage, the 911 calls, the aerial footage, everything that we were told about the Vegas shooting is a lie, and not just about Stephen Paddock, about the entire event. This documentary was bananas, and we should have Mindy on the show. But one of the things is that there were people in helicopters shooting during that. And that was, it triggered me and brought me back when I saw the helicopters in Brazil. Brought me back to seeing that and how, you know, it was just all mainstream media aligned after the Vegas shooting to say that anything outside of Lone Wolf Stephen Paddock was a conspiracy theory. And we've seen that repeatedly, but there were helicopters involved in the Vegas shooting, which is just unbelievable when you think about how they've lied about that.
Well, I do find it somewhat peculiar that, you know, this long after, though they still bring it up, you know, really just to hit on the points of fear and terror in the public. We don't talk much about the Vegas shooting anymore.
No, and we should. We should. And anybody who hasn't seen that documentary, just go on YouTube and search for Route 91. And you have to sign in because it's age restricted. They say it's very dangerous. Every time I paused it and went back in to watch the rest of it, it's like 2 hours long. I got the warning. Are you sure you want to watch this? Because it's very, very dangerous to watch this documentary. It's bananas. There was so much going on in Vegas on that night that we've never been told. And what really enrages me, and this is after, you know, going through January 6th, as I've talked about on the show before, coming home and being, you know, gaslit by everyone, including my own family, including my own employer, gaslit about what actually happened. What they did in Las Vegas is like 10 times worse than the gaslighting that they've done as a result of January 6th. So we should definitely do a show on that soon.
All right. Well, let's. I want to show everyone. Here is a short video of the helicopters.
Go back to the beginning of it. I just want to point something out. So see how far away these people are from the buildings where the violence is occurring? These are people that are on the grass, that are in, you know, gathered in areas that are not near the violence, and they're being gassed by their government. Sounds familiar. Seems familiar, doesn't it?
Well, what I find is really interesting what's going on, because there's videos too. There's videos of there was a handful, maybe 8 or 10 military officers in Brazil, and it was interesting. They were walking, you know, in a straight line. All but one of them had lawn arms, and they're walking in between the people. And they don't look comfortable, but the people in Brazil are like clapping and applauding them. I find it kind of interesting because they clearly weren't in any, I mean, they weren't in a formation moving anywhere. It looks like they were just walking to get through the crowd, but the people were cheering them. And now it looks like there's some very clear tension going back and forth between the police over there and the army, which
yeah,
is something
this is
that
really
we failed to see here in the United States.
This was breaking last night that the military had stepped in on behalf of the protesters, that the state police, who is Lula loyalist, are, you know, going after these protesters very violently, you know, rounding people up. And again, like we talked about at the top of the show, who knows what human rights will be protected by Lula's government. Civil rights, civil liberty, who knows? I think we can speculate based on what we know of him. But the military actually stepped in. I think we have some footage of that, Apollo. I would start with the air view of standoff video. Or it's just an image, actually. That one's just an image.
Okay, yeah. So I have this one. And the next one I have is the Addy Ads footage. This is at night, last night.
Yeah, so this is what happened last night, is that the military came in, and you're seeing a standoff between the federal police, who again are the Lula loyalists, and then military police at military headquarters in Brasilia. Do you want to go ahead and play the footage?
Yep, let's go.
Policiamento de lado e do outro lado ali.
And this is, I'm not sure exactly what time last night, but you have a large line of the military there. And then on the other side of the street, you can see this group of police officers. And there's other, I'm looking for the video that I was thinking of. There's another couple of videos, because we have one. This is, I'm going to play this one real quick. This is... Okay. This is a point where protesters are being pushed back by police after gas. So first of all, let's play this. And for those of you on audio, this is a couple lines of riot police. There's a riot line, and they're shooting gas, and it looks like tear gas grenades, as well as beanbags or something. There's a lot of explosions and noises going on, but for everything that
I saw,
they
were using real bullets. They were using real bullets on protesters last night.
Yeah, I'm saying in this particular video. I didn't see anything in that video that that sounded to me like bullets. I didn't see what looked to me like they were shooting at them. But there are videos and pictures of some of the protesters with bullet wounds in their legs. So there were at least some points. It's unclear where the altercation actually occurred, because all you can see in those images is a handful of people who are laying on the ground getting medical attention. But they did shoot at some of the protesters with live ammunition. But that video that we just watched, where you saw that group pushing across that walkway, I believe that's a different angle, because just shortly after that, That same group of police, if I'm not mistaken, was actually pushed back. And you see, let me just play that without sound one more time. So
yeah,
from the angle
of
the camera here, from the angle of the camera here, and I believe this is the same place because it looks identical, but you see here this walkway, and then the background there's that not a balcony, but the top of the building where there's other police. This group where the camera is shooting from shortly after this, massive amounts of protesters came, and there's several hundred who were kind of in the front, but then they were stacked up. I mean, there was easily, I would say probably 1,000 people just on this bridge going the other direction, and they ended up pushing these police back, and they actually ran. All these police officers ended up running away from this particular altercation. And if you see, I mean, the footage is just unbelievable. There is no way that, short of, you know, dispersing them somewhat with the helicopter dropping tear gas and other things, that that they could control the crowds there. There's absolutely no way. The police were completely outnumbered, and clearly the protesters weren't going anywhere. And it wasn't like we've seen at Antifa, obviously, you know, a bunch of military aged men who are all, you know, geared up. That there were people all ages, men, women. It was really, really interesting to see.
Yeah, and there is, you know, mounted police on horses. There's video of policemen being dragged off of their horses by protesters. And the horses in Brazil are very well disciplined. They didn't get spooked at all. They just kind of walked away. But the people there are pissed, right? What we're seeing is 72 days of protest. They were not listened to. They were gaslit and told everything is fine. Everything is normal. This is how elections work. You don't have anything to complain about. Everything is, you know, totally on the up and up. And maybe that's true, right? So I was, like I said, in this Twitter space last night. Well, first I was in Mario's, right? And you're familiar with Mario, right? Mario Nafal tries to hold balanced Twitter spaces, but reveals his leftiness quite often. And what was funny about that space was you had all these, you know, personalities, all these reporters and everything in there. And they kept trying to say that the protests are dying down. The Lula police have taken control. It's pretty much over. And then every time they'd say that, you'd have somebody who's actually in Brazil pop in and be like, yeah, so now the military is involved in a standoff. And so it's really funny to see them trying to control the narrative in real time with people that sources on the ground actually debunking them in real time. That was enjoyable for me.
And real quick, guys, want to remind you of another one of our sponsors. Are the Biden administration's New Year's goals of tax and spend and turn a blind eye to inflation at odds with your goals of securing your savings? When you've finally had enough of the games government is playing with your savings and retirement, diversify into gold with Birch Gold. I'm tired of my money being impacted by stupid decisions by leaders in Washington. For over 5,000 years, gold has withstood inflation, geopolitical turmoil, and stock market crashes. And here's the great news. You can still get it. In fact, you can hold gold and silver in a tax-sheltered retirement account. Birch Gold makes it easy to convert an IRA or 401k into an IRA in precious metals. Here's what you need to do. Text the word daily, D-A-I-L-Y, to 989-898 to claim your free info kit on gold. With almost 20 years experience converting IRAs and 401ks into precious metals IRAs, Birch Gold can help you. Protect yourself with gold today by texting daily, D-A-I-L-Y, to the number 989-898. With an A-plus rating, with the Better Business Bureau, thousands of happy customers, and countless five-star reviews, secure your future with gold. Start today with your free info kit. There's zero obligations to make this request. Just text DAILY, D-A-I-L-Y, to 989-898. Again, that's 989-898.
Well, and I don't, you know, I'm actually not going to go down the tangent on what I thought about some of those Twitter spaces, because it doesn't matter right now. But it's interesting to see who gets on those things and how confidently they speak about some things. particularly one guy who got in and was like, I'm an election expert. This election in Brazil is completely fair.
Yeah. That's Craig Pasta, I think his name is.
And yeah, Pasta, middle name Pasta.
He was on the second Twitter space. I was a speaker on that one, and he and I debated the elections quite a bit. And I said to him, how can you, because he's adamant that the elections in the U.S. are stolen, right? He says they're completely manipulated. You can tell the election was stolen from Trump in 2020. The elections are manipulated in Maricopa and everywhere, but not in Brazil. In Brazil, everything is totally fine. And so I laid out, you know, the evidence that we've seen, the machine evidence, the voter roll evidence, the ballot trafficking evidence, and said, how can you, I don't think it was recorded, but it would be a good one to go back and listen to, because they said, how can you say that? This is an election that used machines.
And what machines?
Right? Dominion machines. Are they Dominion machines or are they ES&S machines?
I think they're ES&S, but...
ES&S machine.
Hey, I'm just going to put this up.
The USGOD code. Yeah.
Let's just remember, everybody, this is actual footage that was live from the ground there. So I'm going to go really slow here. You guys in the chat, you let me know when you see it. Oh, what's that say? These are the people that are on top of the Congress building. They're everyone's out there with their flags. And they have banners that say, we want the source code in multiple languages. It's very clear why the people in Brazil were doing this. And I have to say, it's gotten interesting because now they've, I believe, arrested like 1,200 of the protesters, supposedly the ones who were the violent ones. There's an interesting dialogue going on between media here in the United States and Brazil versus, that response. But
yeah, sorry, I'm just looking up the voting machines because I don't think it's a U.S. manufacturer. But it is, as I understand it, U.S. Department of Defense code.
Maybe it is 100% Dominion. I can't remember. I knew this like a few weeks ago. I can't remember.
Oh, I thought it was a different vendor. So anyway, we'll see. We'll see what we can find.
No, but anyway, you know what just to kind of wrap up this Brazilian protest. Number one, you have now. I'm not really sure what the back and forth between the army or between the military and the police forces in Brazil are right now. You know, you had army standing in the gap, so to speak, after millions of Brazilians came out and said enough. I'm not saying that it was, clearly they're all getting in there and like just, breaking some of the, inside of the buildings. Again, I don't know if all of those people are just pissed off Brazilians or if there are in fact some Brazilian Fed boys.
Ray Epicito?
Yes, Epicito. So that is possible.
Epicito.
Yeah, it's possible, but, obviously, don't do that. I don't think that's necessarily productive. But then again, that's what happens when you get millions of people who have been lied to and have been cheated. And again, we go back to some parallels about the United States. What was happening to these protesters while they were out there? They arrested the indigenous leader. Were holding him unfairly. The Supreme Court of Brazil started levering arrest warrants for a comedian and like normal citizens, which makes no sense. Mm-hmm. And they've already pursued some remedies because it violates a number of international laws as well as Brazil's. But then they were also going around targeting people who were showing up to the protests and sending the Brazilian CPS essentially to take their kids for taking part in it. So there's a lot of parallels to what's going on in Brazil. You know, we're culturally not at the same place exactly, but that's what happens. I have to say, short of people being injured because of people letting go of control, I have to just wish my best to the people of Brazil. I don't wish for anything to come to to violence or anything like this. But this is the inevitable outcome when every remedy that is supposed to be available to the people is denied, and the every lever of justice and and accountability is skirted or corrupted. And it's very much the same thing that we're seeing in the United States. The difference is in Brazil, I was talking about this with Joe yesterday, like culturally in Europe or in Brazil, this is a lot less out of people's frame than it is in the United States, which I find kind of interesting, because like in Greece, or, you know, where my father's from, or some of these places in Europe and South America, like you have a completely corrupt regime. It's not like beyond comprehension for people to just walk in, take them out in the street and start throwing tomatoes at them. Like that's not mind blowing to anyone. It's not, you know, something that we want to be commonplace, but that's what happens when you screw over a people. In the United States, you even think about
anything. I would be fine with it being commonplace for criminals, for traitors, and tomatoes is a bit nice, I think.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying like, I'm not saying we go out like and do any really horrible violent stuff. Law and order still does matter, though they've really stretched that line a good ways here in the United States. But culturally in Europe, that's not earth shattering. Here in the United States, people, which our entire country, which is not an old country, by the way, the United States is a young country,
right?
Historically, and we were founded upon revolution. Like literally, the history of the United States, many of the things that we hold dear, are literally based in revolutionary principles, and those are then articulated and based in biblical right to self-govern. But you even mentioned the word here in the United States, and oh my God, you're a terrorist. It really speaks very clearly to how weak and I'll just say pussified. I know that's not a PC term, but how weakened they have made the minds and the sensibilities of people in this country, because now we are so dependent and reliant on the fact that there is a system, there is a government and the police, and everything is going to be taken care of, and we dare not challenge it, even when it is going against everything about our sovereignty, our freedom, the things that we as individuals should not ever have to have threatened. Our family, our way of life, our ability to speak freely and walk the streets freely without fear of persecution for politics or whatever. And even in that situation, now as far as it's gone, is all the information that we have available to the people about how bad it's gotten. And still, people seem so afraid to go even a step closer to standing in the gap peacefully and standing in mass. And it's kind of embarrassing, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, no, I want us to move on because we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. But I would say that the one thing, please don't throw up on camera, first of all.
No, that's good. I'm good.
If you're going to throw up, go off camera. and then come back so you can get back to the show. The one thing, and again, I don't want to conflate Brazil and the United States because there are different things happening. But the one thing that I think is very consistent, and I think it's consistent across nations in the world, is that there is an absence of trust. The globalists have destroyed public trust through all institutions, and that's what we're seeing the outcomes. We're seeing the repercussions of the consequences of taking advantage of the people's trust for so long, and then being exposed as having taken advantage of the people's trust, and then having no accountability after being exposed for having taken advantage of the people's trust. What we're seeing in Brazil is what happens when that the people's tolerance for being gaslit, being lied to, having their institutions corrupted, and having their trust broken. What's happening in Brazil is what we see when that happens. All right. So Biden went to the border finally. Super, super exciting. He did a drive-by of the.
Yeah, he started in a parking lot.
Yeah, he's looking at all of the things that are important down at the border. He was met by Greg Abbott, governor of Texas, who gave him a strongly worded letter about needing to secure the border. But it was a bit of a joke, right? And he went to the border because it was convenient on his way to Mexico to meet with other communists like Trudeau and I don't know, probably Lula, right? So that happened. We have a couple of statements. I think I sent you in Slack Apollo 2 statements from whitehouse.gov. I think the first one, is the one I want you to pull up if you could. This is a joint statement. It's a joint statement by President Joe Biden, President Andre Manuel Lopez Obrador, and Prime Minister Justin Trudeau on Brazil. Thank you. Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. condemn the January 8th attacks on Brazil's democracy and on the peaceful transfer of power. We stand with Brazil as it safeguards its democratic institutions. Our governments support the free will of the people of Brazil. We look forward to working with President Lula on delivering for our countries, the Western Hemisphere, and beyond. So, not surprising that the White House is standing with the use of force government. And what I love about this is that we're really starting to see the globalist vision come in to focus here, right? You've got Obrador, you've got Trudeau, and you've got, so for Central and North America, Biden. Gosh, why didn't I remember Biden? Because he's forgettable. You've got the three kind of major economies in North America, Latin America, North America, coming together to stand up for government for government malfeasance in the hemisphere. I think it's incredible that we continue to see people, the people, right, populations, populism, rejecting globalism, and yet in all of these elections, the globalists continue to win. And I use the term win very loosely. So that was the first one. And then there was the second one that I sent you, remarks by President Biden during tour of the border wall. Do you have that one? Yeah. So here I'm going to say you play the person and I'll play Biden.
Can I not do this? All right, I'll do it.
I mean, I guess, okay, I could play both roles, but that won't be as fun.
Mr. President, what have you learned at the border today?
Huh? They need a lot of resources, and we're going to get it for them.
What about Mr. Abbott's letter? Any response to Mr. Abbott's letter?
No response. Didn't answer that one.
What about Bolsonaro? Do you have any response to Governor Abbott's letter that he handed to you?
I didn't get a chance to read it yet. Haven't read it yet.
What about Bolsonaro? Any reaction to what's going on in Brazil?
Yes.
What's your response?
It's outrageous. And that's it. That's the press conference. I love that. Any reaction to what's going on in Brazil? Yes. You want to tell us what it is? So Biden finally visits the U.S. southern border in very much drive-by fashion, spent some time in parking lots, and then flew to Mexico, where he hung out with his globalist buddies and dodged questions from reporters. So that's what's happening at the White House today, and that's good times. I want to go through some more executive branch stuff. So I'm going to skip the House link that I sent you and go to the defense.gov link that I sent you. If you could pull that up, that's a fun one. And I'll just, for the audience, start going through.
Is this the military package to Ukraine?
$3 billion. Yeah. U.S. $3 billion military package to Ukraine looks to change battlefield dynamics. DOD officials unveiled the more than $3 billion package of military capabilities to help Ukraine drive the Russian invaders from their soil. Now, isn't Ukraine winning? Isn't it going super well and they're never going to back down and they're totally reclaiming their country? Why do we keep sending them multi-billion packages of aid every couple of weeks? Anyway, war in Ukraine is at a critical point right now, and we have to do everything we can to help the Ukrainians continue to resist Russian aggression, said Laura Cooper, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Russia, Ukraine, and Eurasia. The Presidential Drawdown Authority announced today is the largest the United States has committed so far. Oh, good. United States has committed so far the authorization of presidential drawdown of equipment from U.S. inventories is valued at up to $2.85 billion, and there is an additional $225 million in foreign military financing to contribute to the long-term capacity and modernization of Ukraine's military. So we're modernizing their military now. Major announcement includes 50 M2A2 Bradley fighting vehicles for the Ukrainian military. These armored vehicles enough to outfit a mechanized infantry battalion. Now, you can pull this down. I want to just point out that we just talked about Biden going to the border, right? Has he committed any aid to our borders? No. What he did was he spoke to migrant workers down at the border and said, if I have a magic wand, what do you want? If I had a magic wand and I could give you the people who, one, are breaking the law by crossing the border illegally. That's the first legal violation. Two, in the country illegally, without papers, without the authorization to be here. That's another crime. And then lots of them actually commit crimes while they're here. And as we've seen over the past several years, many of them just they get those charges dropped. They get let go. It is that population that Biden said, what do we need to do to solve this border problem? What do you think they said, Apollo? What do you think that the migrant workers' wish list was for Biden?
Tell me, Ash.
Oh, I don't know. I'm speculating. I think they probably asked for, you know, Customs and Border Patrol to be completely disbanded. And Biden's like, oh, I think that's a good idea. But I made that up. I don't know what they actually asked for. It wasn't included in the reporting that I saw. Only what included was the fact that Biden has, you know, in his first presidential visit to the U.S. border, he approached migrant workers and said, what is it that you all need? Not Greg Abbott, not Customs and Border, U.S. Border Patrol, not Customs and Border Protection, not ICE, not the local county and city elected officials who are responsible for protecting their communities down near the border. He didn't ask them. He asked the people that are coming in here illegally what they want, how they think we should secure the border. And in fact, I think this is probably a good time to do the fax blast because.
Well, can I just put up the actual press release real quick for the Ukraine deal?
Sure, go ahead.
So this was on January 6th. On Friday, for immediate release today, DOD announces Biden admin's commitment to $3.75 billion in additional security assistance for Ukraine. This includes the authorization of a presidential drawdown of security assistance valued up to $2.85 billion to meet Ukraine critical security defense needs. Okay, presidential drawdown. So essentially what they're saying here is that this is just coming out of the U.S.'s the U.S.'s stock of weapons. Which,
to build up yeah. The Ukrainian military. And it's read the second paragraph. It's the 29th time that we've given our U.S. equipment and our defensive capabilities, the 29th time that we've given it to Ukraine. And this is the biggest.
Yeah, and look at this. 50
what are we
Bradleys,
doing, guys.
This is completely nuts. And now there are several, Germany, a number of other countries have given Ukraine arms. In addition to this, they also included funding for. Essentially, they're going to pay for other countries to donate. That's nice. I'm not sure that qualifies in the colloquial definition of donate. If the U.S. DOD is just going to pay for it, they'll finance you to donate weaponry to Ukraine.
It's like a voluntary vaccine mandate.
Yeah. So, you know what was interesting? Did you see the, I forgot to get that ready. Maybe I can pull that in. I don't know what time we have. Did you see the Chechen, the Chechen officer or warfighter talking about the assistance going over to Ukraine? And essentially, he was asked something to the extent of, what is going on? Are you worried about all this assistance that is being sent and all this money? And he was like, no, because it's a money laundering front. There, maybe 15% of everything that they're all these funds and all this stuff is actually going to make it to the front anyways. So, no, I'm really not worried, because this is all just going to get embezzled anyways and go back into the pocketbooks of all of these people. I mean, you look at this, yeah. 50 tanks, 100 M113 armored personnel carriers, 55 MRAPs, 138 Humvees, howitzers, ammo support vehicles, 70,000 155 millimeter rounds, guided artillery, RAM systems, 10,000 mortar rounds, HIMARS, missile air defense, Zuni air, 4,000 Zuni rockets, 2,000 anti-armor. I mean, like, what are they doing? This is like a you take this to contrast what's going on in the Middle East. This is like multi-year type of insurgency stuff.
Well,
and we're paying
this
19
East,
times.
Yeah, speaking of 29. Speaking of the Middle East, we have you know, all of that brand new equipment that we outfitted our military for sitting in Afghanistan. Right. I mean, it's now obviously belongs to the Chinese who have taken over Afghanistan, and it's now theirs. But this is this all of this equipment going to Ukraine. It's not that we're basically outfitting the entire world with military capabilities. And Jim Jordan right now is taking flack for suggesting that there might be defense spending cuts. I suggest that we need defense spending cuts because they believe that they can do this. They believe that they can go and outfit every other country in the world if it suits their political interests and their imperialist interests. They can go outfit every country in the world, but we cannot protect our southern border. It's absolutely disgusting.
It's insane. It's beyond insane.
So let's talk about the House really quickly. I mentioned Jim Jordan, and I know we're getting tight on time here, so I want to make sure we hit this. There, I sent you a link, apologist, on house.gov that goes through the clerk's notes of proceeding. They have not passed the House rules yet. The House is adjourned until 5 p.m. Eastern time today, so at 3 Mountain time. They should be back in session, and it's expected that they are going to try and pass this rules package. They have not passed it yet. And until they pass it, they cannot bring legislation to the floor. It's all being held. They're still kind of deadlocked until they have official rules under which the House is going to operate.
Sorry, where
so
did you send this?
We'll see.
What'd you send me?
It's in the same list of links that I sent you. It's the one I asked you to skip. It just says house.gov in the links list. Or just go to house.gov. So, you know, as we talked about last week, and I'm going to pull up my article. I did 3,000 words on this on Saturday night. And so if you haven't read that, ashenamerica.com, or I'm moving all my stuff over to Substack now, so ashenamerica.substack.com. But I wanted to just give this list of concessions because, you know, we were all disappointed that the so if you click Apollo under legislative activity, click on floor proceedings down. Yeah, there. Right. So you can see here 1:51 a.m. Since the rules of the 118th Congress had not yet been adopted, chair announced the rights of members to introduce bills and the authority of the speaker to refer them. But it would be delayed. That the submitted bills would be held until adoption of the rules. At that time, they would be referred as expeditiously as possible. So they're deadlocked until they pass the rules package, right? And again, you can see at the top there, they're adjourned until 5 p.m. Eastern time today. So what is in the rules package? So the one that we've heard about most is the motion to vacate, previously set at 5 members. You'd need 5 members to introduce a motion to get rid of the Speaker of the House. They moved that down to 1. But additionally, what's included in the negotiations and in the rule package, a promise for guaranteed votes on issues like a balanced budget amendment, term limits, a Texas border plan, and an end to all remaining coronavirus mandates and funding, a new committee to investigate the alleged weaponization of the FBI against its political foes. Committee would be modeled on the Church Committee, which has investigated U.S. intelligence agencies in 1975, have a budget comparable to the recently disbanded January 6th committee. More single subject bills to allow members to vote on specific narrow issues instead of 1,000-page pork barrel behemoths. That's a great concession that they earned, that we actually need to have single issue bills, and you can't have these, you know, 4,000 page bills that get dropped 5 hours before a vote so nobody can read what they're voting on. A 72-hour window for members to read any new bill before it can be voted on. So again, more time to read even the single page bills, but certainly the larger package bills. So that 72-hour window, promise to refuse any increase in the debt ceiling in the next federal budget agreement. That's a summary from the New York Post that they published on January 7th about what concessions were made. So that is what is the delay in the House of Representatives right now, is they haven't adopted the rules package. The rules package was a significant significant input into the speaker drama that we watched last week. There's been speculation that Kevin McCarthy, now that he is the speaker, is going to renege on some of those rules, and that he's going to, you know, get some of his coalition of 200 people to vote against it, so that he's not beholden to the deals he made last week. I believe he'll face mutiny if that happens. So we shall see. But the Jim Jordan is chomping at the bit to get this judiciary committee going and get these investigations started. And that brings me to the fax blast, if you want to throw up the fax blast today, Apollo.
So I have one quick question. The January 6th committee was able to independently issue subpoenas without going to the without going through oversight and accountability or another committee, correct?
Yes.
Right, so what I find interesting is if you look in here, it specifically states the select subcommittee may not authorize and issue subpoenas, but the Committee on Oversight and Accountability, if acting in accordance, blah, 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 may authorize and issue subpoenas to be returned at the select subcommittee.
Okay, so what I read there is that this committee on the weaponization is going to be a subcommittee of oversight and accountability committee, and so the parent committee would hold the subpoena power. The subcommittee would have to get the authorization, and those subpoenas would have to be issued by oversight and accountability, not by the subcommittee itself. The expected chair of the oversight committee is James Comer. He has in press conferences prior to the speaker vote been very vocal about the weaponization of law enforcement. He's talked about the Twitter files. He's talked about the Hunter Biden laptop. So I would be surprised if the subcommittee had difficulty getting his approval for subpoenas, but we'll see.
Well, and that's my hope. I found it interesting because, you know, if we're talking about being treated equally, it seems that, you know, Kevin McCarthy or whoever ended up having some say in these rules, I don't know if it's actually going to be used to pull a fast one, but it might be. It stuck out to me.
Yeah, I don't trust them at all. I was debating Chris Paul about this on Twitter over the weekend, and he sent me his recent show is the case for Kevin McCarthy. So I'm going to try and listen to that today to see what he says. But I said to him, you know, the one thing that I know for certain without any qualms, without any doubt in my mind, is that Kevin McCarthy and establishment Republicans are going to continue to disappoint us. So that, you know, I've been on this merry-go-round for way too long to think that anything different is going to come of it. So we are out of time. Let's hit the fax blast and then we can pray. All right. Time for investigations is over. It is time to impeach and remove Joe Biden. And if you want to go to the next. All right. So from COVID crimes against humanity to vaccine genocide to influence peddling and money laundering to enabling an invasion at the southern border, Joe Biden and his associates' crimes are well documented. You've all seen the Pfizer data. The reason they wanted to suppress that data for 75 years is clear. Oh, I lost it. You put up the wrong. Thank you.
Sorry.
That's okay. You've all received the Biden laptop report, and it alone is enough to impeach Joe Biden many times over. Here are the top three reasons to impeach Joe Biden, impeach and remove. One, high crimes against humanity via Tony Fauci and the whole of government response to COVID-19 vaccinations that the White House loves to brag about. Two, the, sorry, when that my pillow thing went down, it glitched my screen. Joe Biden's high crime of selling out the American people to China through his money laundering operation in Ukraine and under other foreign nations. That is well documented in the Biden laptop report. Joe Biden's failure, three, Joe Biden's failure to secure the southern border, enabling the invasion through his policies, promises, and his failure to act. We the people do not need to fund additional investigations on these matters. It's time for action. When President Trump was elected, the establishment fabricated crimes and engaged in 4 years of investigations and multiple impeachments at our expense. We don't need that. Can you scroll it down a little bit? We simply need the 118th Congress to impeach and remove Biden so that we can prosecute the already investigated and meticulously documented crimes. Remember that oath you just took. So that is our facts to Congress today. We're going to be pushing them hard. We are working also on getting local executive and legislative branches included in our facts blast. So watch for that, hopefully in Q1. This year, and we are working to get all of the numbers and offices all updated for the new Congress. The as I said before last week, the fax numbers still work, so they'll still be getting the messages if you're faxing it within the next day or so. We should have that all completely updated. The challenge was that they weren't assigned, right, until the speaker was elected and they could be sworn in. There was no list. They weren't assigned and that information wasn't provided. So now that the speaker debacle is over, we can get those quickly updated and get ready to go, because I'm excited about holding this government accountable this year. I think that I put this in my piece and hopefully folks will go read it. But I think that there is with what those 20 Republicans did last week to force these concessions and to fundamentally reduce the power of the speaker. This is something you've seen Nancy Pelosi come out and whine about, that they've just made it ceremonial. Good. It should be ceremonial because it's not another president, right? We have representative government. And if one person and his establishment cronies have the ability to, you know, override the will of the people by neutralizing their representatives, then that's not exactly representative government. So one of the conclusions that I came to after following all 4 days of that, after watching all the news coverage and seeing all the press releases that came out, all of the press conferences of the 20 members, of the other members, one thing that I feel pretty confident about is that our role in this process has increased. By reducing the power that the speaker holds, by reducing the centralized control, our representatives are going to have more flexibility and agility to represent our interests rather than the interests of the party. And the only way that works is if we actually hold them accountable to do it, right? So it's a new Congress. It's the 118th Congress. We all should be communicating with them every single day. I think that should be everybody's New Year's resolution. Is that, you know, we're going to hold this government accountable, not just the federal government. As I said, we're working on getting the local government set up. There's nothing stopping you from paying attention to and communicating with your local representatives in the meantime as well. Of course, you can send every campaign that we have for free, absolutely at no cost, if you become a member of Conservative Daily. So sign up to do that, because we're going to be doing a lot more content, a lot more. We get some really fun stuff planned for members this year.
And just I know we haven't said it in a while because it's in the outro, but I'm redoing a bunch of stuff. But just to remind everyone, we'll send you a text message when we're going live. If you text freedom to 89517, I go conservative-daily.com. You can go sign up for the Fax Blast, for our newsletter. And that's where you can go become a member. There's a link for that in the description as well. I do want to play the DCF commercial because I haven't seen it in like a week. And you know, we're talking about mass civil unrest, and not that that should be an offensive action, but things get really weird when that does happen. And sooner or later, it's going to happen at some level here in the United States. It's unavoidable. And I really do pray that everyone is cognizant of that, and that you prepare yourself and are prepared to take on the responsibility for yourself and your family and your loved ones. And ideally, as God would want you to do, also be a leader and a shepherd to connect to your community and be able to keep each other safe and work together throughout that.
This episode of Conservative Daily is brought to you by DCF Guns. They're not just a supporter and a partner of the show. They're an organization that is on the front line of promoting safe and responsible gun ownership. Along with being a staunch defender of the Second Amendment, they have a lot of different things inside of their three ranges and stores. So they have a gunsmith at every location. They have the ability to do massive amounts of training, anything from beginners all the way up to competitive shooting. They're also the best gun store in Colorado. Between a massive arsenal of top-tier firearms, competitive pricing on ammunition, they're a go-to resource for newcomers and expert shooters alike. Memberships there start for as little as $25 a month and offer an arsenal of benefits beyond that, such as store-wide discounts and special access to training. Even better, what you're seeing right now is DCF Guns also has an e-commerce option, meaning you can take advantage of the awesome prices without leaving your home. Just visit dcfguns.co and start browsing. I do want to tell you that as a listener of conservative-daily.com, you get an additional 5% off everything in the store. You have to use discount code Joe. That's J-O-E. That's discount code Joe. Go to dcfguns.co and use discount code Joe, J-O-E. That's me. Or it's coffee, cup of Joe. But you can go there and save an additional 5% off every single thing on the site. As always, we'll keep the range hot and the deals hotter only at DCF Guns in Castle Rock and Colorado Springs, and now online, available to everyone across the entire country. God bless you all.
If you want to watch Conservative Daily Podcast, we go live Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time and 4 p.m. Mountain Time. You can find us live at conservative-daily.com, on Rumble, on Frank Speech, where we go live on Lindell TV 2 at those same times, on DLive, and now on Odyssey. You can also find our episodes at Brighteon.com. Make sure you also check out the link in the description to go to the Brighteon store and prepare you and your family with the awesome storable food and other products that they have there. You can find us on the audio edition at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Podbean, Audible, and everywhere else. Make sure you go and give us a 5-star review and be that ambassador of truth. Share this episode with everyone who needs to hear it. Text the word freedom to 89517 and we'll shoot you a text message when we're about to go live. Check out the description for our link to the daily newsletter so you get access to the Fax Blasts. We want to thank you for being a listener of Conservative Daily Podcast as we pursue truth and fight to restore our nation. We will continue to provide you with the most important information that the mainstream media will not show you. Now at conservative-daily.com, you have the option to become a member with us. Each membership option varies in access and discounts in regards to the ability to interact with the daily Fax Blasts, monthly savings, access to extra content, and interactions with the hosts and guests of the show. Go to conservative-daily.com and become a member right now for as little as $10 a month. Make sure you check out social media and find us everywhere at Conservative Daily and at Joel Altman. We'll see you next time on Conservative Daily Podcast. It's time to do the hard work. Let's take our country back, Patriots. God bless America.